to see each and every one of you here with us this morning. It's certainly an honor and a privilege to be able to be here to preach the gospel truth, and that's always an honor. I have to say, we were scheduled to go to the Challenge Youth Conference. That's where Joseph is this weekend with the youth group at church, and about 25 or so that went, and it's always a good thing for them, good thing for our youth, and they always enjoy it thoroughly to be with other like-minded Christians, especially in that age. So I was supposed to go, and that was my goal, to be there with them this weekend. I already had plans for someone to fill in for me today, and when I got the call, the invitation, I went to my elders and I said, "Gentlemen, I'd like to be at the Tennessee Bible College lectureship. They've asked me to come and speak," and I said, "Can I get off that day, you know, and go that direction instead of going to CYC?" And they said, well, do you really need not go to CYC? I said, "I've been waiting for this invitation for 16 years. You better believe I want to be there and not at CYC." So that worked out pretty good. Would have been with you yesterday. I apologize for that. Circumstances didn't allow it. But I do have some good news. We baptized a lady into Christ yesterday, and that was worth it all. Worth it all. It was a unique, interesting situation. Someone had called me, and they said, "We need to baptize this soul. We've been working with them," and so on. And what I didn't really realize until I got there, because it wasn't through my Bible study, it was through someone else's, they were handicapped. And they put them in one of those, I forget what you call them, Heather told me, and I forget the name of it. It's almost a sling, and it takes three people to pick them up and to get them in the water. And church, I'm telling you, it was a beautiful thing to see. It doesn't matter who you are or what your circumstances are, you can obey the gospel. And she did, and that was a wonderful thing. So glad to be a part of that yesterday. This morning, we're going to talk about being persecuted, but not forsaken. The fact is, Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, said, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're cast down, but not destroyed." Church, the life of a Christian is not free from trials. The life of a Christian is not free from tribulation. Fact is, church, I'll go ahead and start now, and then we're going to end strong in just a moment. If you're sitting here today and you've never faced persecution, you very likely may not be living the Christian life. You may not be doing what God calls you to do as a Christian in living the life of Christ, patterning our lives after Him. The fact is, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church there in Corinth, he describes the reality of suffering in the Christian walk. But he's also quick to remind us that in that Christian walk, God will not forsake us. God will not leave us. So we're going to talk about, first of all, the reality of Christian suffering. Now, I was nudging Heather just a moment ago because as Brother Jim was going through his lesson, I said, "Well, that's the verse of Scripture I have. Well, there goes another verse of Scripture I have." And it was just on and on and just clicking through it. And I thought, he's just preached my lesson. So we're going to do the best that we can this morning to go back through those things. So for you that were not in here during that time, it's a benefit to you. Otherwise, it's just repetitive. But I hope it still falls on honest and open hearts. So we're going to talk about the reality of Christian suffering. He points out, Paul does, four different areas within this text of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. He talks first then about the trouble on every side, yet not distressed. So he talks here specifically about a life of pressure, a life of persecution. He talks about that from every direction we're going to receive trouble. That there's always going to be trouble around every corner. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, here's one, Brother Jim, verses 23 through 28. Paul lists and he talks about all the various trials and troubles that he went through in his life. So if anyone had ever experienced it, if anyone ever understood what it meant to have trouble in their walk with Christ, it was Paul. Amen. He had been through it all. He faced the opposition. He faced the hardships. He faced the challenges. But here's the interesting thing, and I want to take you back to Jesus Christ, because we're going to talk about Jesus, we're going to talk about Peter, and we're going to talk about Paul all throughout this lesson. So the first thing I want to point out for you in John 16, in verse 33, Christ warns his followers. He says this: "In the world ye shall have tribulation." You're going to have trouble, he said, "but be of good cheer." He says, be of good cheer. Well, why is that, Jesus? He said, because I have overcome the world. In other words, he said, I have overcome the world for you. Expect the trouble and remember what I did for you. Remember that. The next one is perplexed, but not in despair. And I know you heard that one this morning. You know, there are times when we do not understand God's plan. There are times when we don't fully comprehend what God has in mind for us or what his will or plan is for us. But I want to show you in Romans chapter 8 in verse 28, Paul said the following thing. He said, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose." So in other words, Paul himself experienced moments of uncertainty, but he's showing us he never lost hope. That no matter how perplexed we are, no matter how confused we are, not to lose hope, because God is working things in your life for a purpose. It's for a reason. Stay the course. Stay the course. And then, of course, my subject for this morning: persecuted but not forsaken. Persecuted but not forsaken. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. Paul did a great job in talking to Timothy and trying to encourage him on the life he was about to live. Not just living, but about to live, where he was going. And he said in verse 12, "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." So he's telling Timothy, no matter what you do, no matter what your course of action is, the direction you're taking, as long as you're following after Christ, church, you're going to have persecution. You're going to be persecuted. Why? Because you're disciples of Christ. Disciple, you know what a disciple is by definition? Is a follower of a teaching. So we are disciples of Christ because we're following after the teaching then of Christ. So he says you're going to be persecuted. You're going to have pressure. In fact, Jesus in John 15, 8 through 20, he said that he was persecuted, but he told his disciples to expect the same as him. Jesus said himself, he said, expect the same persecution that I received. And that's the truth, church. But here's the interesting part, and here's where we're going to get to the meat of it here in just a moment. Paul said, but we're not forsaken. He said, we're not forsaken. That is, God never abandons his children. In fact, Hebrews 13 in verse 5, the Hebrew writer references there God saying, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And that goes all the way back to Deuteronomy 32, Joshua chapter 1. When Joshua was told to lead the children of Israel and Moses, the Jews, and then also God himself said, be courageous, be strong. He said, because the Lord God will never leave you nor forsake you. And if there was ever anyone who had a challenge before them, it was Joshua. He needed the encouragement. And he received it. The next thing, cast down but not destroyed. Cast down but not destroyed was the next thing Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians 4, 8 and 9. What he's talking about is life's battles may knock us down, but they cannot destroy us. Remember Christ's encouragement in Matthew 10 and verse 28 is, why should we fear one who can only kill the body and not the soul, but rather fear the one who can kill both body and soul? So in other words, our sight, our future. The things we're looking unto should be what? Well, it should be God the Father. It should be Jesus Christ. That's what we should be looking into. That's the encouragement. Not to the worldly things which can merely destroy the body but cannot touch our soul. Cast down but not destroyed. Paul, in fact, was stoned. Paul was beaten. Paul was shipwrecked. He was in prison, but he always did what? He always got back up because God sustained him. Proverbs 24 and verse 16. You know, Brother David told me once, and I reference this all the time. I do it at Hebron. I'm sure they're tired of hearing it. You know, he told us one day in class, he said, you would do good to read a proverb a day. Remember that? He told us that in class one day, and he said, you do good to read a proverb a day. And that is such encouragement. In Proverbs 24 and verse 16, a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. Now, Brother Jim, don't worry, I messed up my PowerPoint too, okay? You've had point number two up there since point number one began, but that's all right. It's okay. Your system's a little different from mine, but it's a Mac, so that's okay too. I do use that. So I'm not going to touch it. We're going to leave it alone. We're going to roll right on into the next one. Some things, church, are not persecution. Now, these things have to be identified. It's important that we understand the difference between persecution of a Christian and then persecution of daily life, because there is a difference. In fact, 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4, in verses 14 through 16, Peter said this: if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. Verse 15: but let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. The point that Peter was making out is that was making here is that there is a difference between being persecuted and being punished for your own misdeed. In fact, Peter makes it clear that a Christian who is punished for a crime, or even if you're just chastised for simply being a busybody, that is deserved, and it has nothing to do with what Jesus or Peter or Paul or any of them are talking about. In other words, the blessing derived from persecution is altogether different from the very things being discussed here. In fact, based on Peter's comments, based on the things in which Peter is saying there in 1 Peter chapter 4, we can list other forms of reproach that are not the persecution Jesus or Peter or Paul or anyone else spoke about, such as persecution arising because you're a difficult or hard to get along with or objectionable type person in conduct. In other words, I've known people that were just simply ugly to be ugly. In fact, they were just mean folks, as some would say, who thought that that was the means by which to be a Christian, was just to be ugly and mean and harsh all the time. And Peter said, not so. There is another example, persecution arising because you're simply weak in your faith. Or maybe you're immature in your actions, and maybe you're unwise in the conduct of your life. You know, there are people out there who do some really dumb things. That used to be me. There are people out there that do some really, really crazy things. And then they're amazed, so surprised, when it backfires on them. And it comes right back to them. And they don't understand why. Church, this is not persecution, but this is the result of your own bad behavior. Period. So there is a difference. So what are the kinds of persecution in which Jesus spoke of? We must know then, we must be able to identify the difference between bad choices leading to persecution or persecution based on Christ. Well, Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. And there in the Sermon on the Mount, he began with the Beatitudes, as we like to list them. And one of those things he talked about in verses 10 and 11 was the subject of persecution. And this is what Christ said. He said, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 11, blessed are you when you revile, when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil things against you falsely for my sake. Church, there's two things here that Jesus Christ mentioned. Two things in which you can use to identify what is persecution of a Christian. He said, one, if you're being persecuted for righteousness' sake. And he said, two, if you're being persecuted for my sake. That is, for the sake of Christ. We have to understand that this persecution is that which comes for specific reasons. Persecuted for being, as I said earlier, a disciple of Christ. Now, next one. Well, I just keep messing that PowerPoint up. Maybe I should do this right here. I got to wait for it. Jim, you got to wait for it, brother. There it was. It's on now. All right, you don't have any patience. That's all right. I can respect that. All right. Now, let's talk for just a moment about assurances. You may ask, what assurances do we have that God's with us? You say that, well, we're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. You say that God will never leave us. God will always be there. So what assurances, you may ask, do I have? Well, the greatest comfort in suffering is knowing that we're not forsaken, church. The fact is, God has promised to be with us. God used the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 41, in verse 10, to say, fear thou not, for I am with thee. And then he used his own son in Matthew 28 in verse 20 when he said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Church, that's encouragement. That right there should be enough to tell us that God will not forsake us. But it never is it? It never is enough to know that God is always with us, that his son is with us until he returns. Acts 23 and verse 11, Paul experienced that. We talked about all the sufferings, all the persecutions, all the things that Paul went through during his life. Well, in Acts 23 and verse 11, we learn that Paul experienced God's presence with him in his own trials. Church, that's encouragement. What about biblical examples? We need some biblical examples really to help us reaffirm the things we're talking about. Give us that extra portion or morsel of reassurance, right? Of assurance that God is with us. Well, I've listed some here on the overhead for you. Now let me ask you this. What if, looking at biblical examples, what if it was that you were betrayed? What if it was that, here we go, Brother Jim, I'm all over your lesson. You were sold into slavery. What if you were falsely accused? What would you do? The church, for Joseph, he was. Yet God was with him. Genesis 39, 2 and 21. Another example, what if you were one who was thrown in a den of lions? Daniel was. And God shut the mouths of the lions because God was with him. What if it was a situation where you were cast into a fiery furnace? Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were. And God wasn't just with him. He sent an angel to be with them, which some believe may have been Jesus Christ. We're not really sure. God was with them. And then you can look at the number one figure, if you will, the number one example throughout all of the scriptures, Jesus Christ himself and the things in which he suffered going to that cross and then suffering that cross, enduring the sins of man. And upon that cross there in Matthew 27 in verse 46, he said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And church, don't get confused. That was not God forsaking him because God had to look away because it was the only way you could have and I could have redemption. It was the only way. The fulfillment of Psalm 22 in verse 1 was that Christ had to shed his blood so that blood could wash our sins away. It was necessary. The interesting thing is, and here's one more thing I want to say on this subject before we move on. You know, church, we talk about God will not forsake us. God is always with us. He'll never leave us. He'll always be there. And that is so true. But you know, in Galatians 5 in verse 4, Paul talked about how that we become estranged from Christ because we continue to live by that law, right? And he says, you will fall from the grace of God. Church, grace is the definition of mercy and loving kindness. It's a thing in which God always extends to man. But here's the problem. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2, Isaiah said that it's sin that separates us from God. So church, it's not God leaving you. It's not God forsaking you. It's you and me forsaking God. Forsaking what Christ did on the cross. That's the problem. That grace is always and forever extended to all of us. But will we take part in it by faithful obedience? Now, here's the application of everything that we just discussed thus far. All the points we've looked at, all the things that have been outlined, here's the application. No matter what we face, church, we can know. Not, I hope. Well, maybe it's the case. Well, we'll see. Church, we can know. God is with us. Amen. And number two, even though we feel alone, even though at times we feel separated from society, church, God is always working behind the scenes. He is always ever present. Now, let me ask you this. And here's where I want to take the lesson now, because we've really wore this section out, right? Well, we really have. But church, I don't want to leave it open-ended. I want to leave you with something to take with you this morning that's a bit of encouragement. Something that will help strengthen you spiritually. Strengthen your faith. How do you stand strong in persecution? You know, we talk about all these things that Paul has listed here in 2 Corinthians 4. But church, you need some tools. You need some tools to carry with you this morning, today, as you walk your Christian life. And so I'm going to give you five. I'm going to give you five. The first one is this. You need to trust in God's promises. Here we go, Brother Jim, doing it all over again. You need to trust in God's promises. How do we do that? Hold on to His Word. Hold on to the Word of God. Hold on to the Word. Church, that's our faith. I want you to think about Psalm 46 in verse 1, when the psalmist said, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. When we're in trouble, God is our refuge. God is our strength. Number two, stay connected to the body of Christ. You'll find out pretty quick, church, you can't do it alone. You can't do it on your own. You can't separate yourself from the body of Christ and walk in Christ. You have left. Hebrews 10 and verse 25, we know that it's a necessity that we fellowship with believers, because those believers can give us encouragement. Galatians 6 and verse 2, they don't just carry encouragement, church, but we bear one another's burdens. And so fulfill the law of Christ. Number three, keep your eyes on Jesus. It's so easy to look away. It's so easy to take our focus off of what's important. Church, if we can stay focused on Jesus, He will guide our steps. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Church, how we do that is through worship and prayer. Scripture. Those things are what help us to stay focused on what is important. Number four. Remember that the victory has already been won. The victory has already been had. Remember, I read for you earlier, John 16 and verse 33, that Jesus has already overcome the world for us. And in 1 John 5 and verse 4, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Church, we have a part in that. We have a work in that. And number five, one that I hope you will really take with you this morning. Be reminded of the perspective of eternal glory, of what heaven really is. I want you to think about how Paul reminds us that our suffering is but temporary compared to eternal glory. He said it's but temporary. In fact, in that same text, Paul didn't leave it just open-ended. He gave us encouragement. You'll see it there on the screen in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 17. He said, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." The victory has been won. Eternal glory awaits us. In Romans 8 and verse 18, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So what is Paul's message? In 2 Corinthians 4, 8 and 9, it's very clear. He teaches this. We will face trials, but we will. There'll be trials which we will struggle to overcome. He said that we may be persecuted, but we are never abandoned by God. We may be knocked down, but we will not be destroyed. So let us take comfort knowing that God is with us during and through every trial that we may go through. And He will bring us through every storm. So here's my final encouragement to you. And the lesson is yours this morning. If you're facing trials today, hold on to God's promises. If you feel forsaken, remember that God never leaves His children. And if you are weary, it's time that you trust in His strength. If you're here today, and like I said from the very beginning, if you could say, "Well, I've never been persecuted. I've never faced those type of things," church, I venture to say you're sitting here today, a lost soul. Maybe it is that you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Maybe it is that you need to understand Romans 10 and verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Believing it to be true, Mark 16, 15 and 16. Repenting of your sins, Luke 13, 3, Acts 17, 30. Confessing the name of Christ, Matthew 10, 32 and 33. And then understanding in 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, the antitype which now saves us is baptism. Church, you need to be baptized. That's what washes away those sins. Acts 22 and verse 16, Acts 2 and verse 38. But here's the interesting thing. Once that happens, once you obey that gospel, it's not Derek Stiles, David Hill, or Mike Wheeler, or Ernie Kander that adds you to their church. Acts 2 and verse 47, it says the Lord will add you unto His church. We would love to partake of that this morning, to help you with that, to be an encouragement to you in that way. And If it be that you have obeyed the gospel, but you've fallen short, Galatians 5 and verse 4, becoming estranged from Christ, fallen from the grace of God, we want you to understand that there is a way even out of that. Galatians 6 and verse 1, restore such a one lest you fall in the same temptation. Church, we're here for you this morning. We want to pray for you. We want to restore you. We want to get you right back on the right track, which will take you unto eternal glory. Come now as we stand and sing.